right? Or something that's headed towards that. We need to be aware of that. We need to know what that means. We need to know what that means. Right here on the Sunday Forum, this is Walter Osbert II, the voice of the Tampa Bay area, along with my main man, Mobilia, the Fourth Estate crew. We are trying to have this intelligent conversation. Bring it to you live right here on 88.5 FM.
Stay tuned for the Sunday Forum second hour coming up next after the National Public Radio headlines. WMNF Tampa.
Hi from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. It's been an active weekend for tornadoes. Several have done damage across the central U.S. Search and rescue efforts underway in Oklahoma, where one person has reportedly died. And NPR's Amy Held reports a tornado risk is not over yet.
Storms today are moving across Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Missouri. Richard Thompson is lead forecaster for the Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma.
There'll be some risk of tornadoes and damaging winds. I think it will be a step down from the previous 2 days.
Friday, tornadoes struck Iowa and Nebraska, wrecking hundreds of homes, including Stacy Rose in the Omaha area.
This was our forever home, and we came home, and there was no home to really come to.
Federal assistance is on its way. Then last night, more tornadoes struck, doing damage, especially in Oklahoma, to buildings, roadways, and power lines. Thompson says this is an active time of year.
We are near peak severe weather climatology for the central southern plain.
Amy Held, NPR News.
In Tel Aviv last night, thousands gathered calling for a ceasefire with Hamas and the return of the remaining hostages. Hero Shahar Moore was among them. Hamas is holding one of his relatives.
Families of the hostages, we are gathered to call upon the cabinet members, get out of government if you can't secure a hostage deal now.
The protesters took to the streets after Hamas released a video that appears to show two Israeli hostages who've been held in Gaza since Hamas's attack on Israel more than 6 months ago. A ceasefire will be on the agenda when Secretary of State Antony Blinken visits Saudi Arabia tomorrow. Amid the campus protests against the war in Gaza, the University of Southern California says it's hoping for a more reasonable response from students today before it's forced to take further action. Police swarmed the area last night after students returned to an encampment police dismantled last week. That led to the arrest Wednesday of more than 90 people. Washington University in St. Louis says 80 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested on campus last night. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas says the U.S. is the only country that can stop Israel from attacking Rafah, where more than a million displaced Palestinians are taking refuge. The BBC's Sebastian Usher has more.
The prospect of Israel launching an offensive on Rafah has been looming for weeks, prompting warnings from many countries, including Israel's most important ally, the U.S. The Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has essentially made a direct appeal to Washington to use its full influence over Israel to stop the operation. He was speaking at a meeting of the World Economic Forum in the Saudi capital, Riyadh, where the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is due to arrive later today. On his latest visit to the region, he'll hold talks with Mr. Abbas and other Arab leaders to discuss the situation in Gaza amid renewed momentum to secure a ceasefire and the release of hostages.
And you're listening to NPR News.
WNF Tampa.
Tesla founder Elon Musk is in China. He arrived there today as Chinese car makers are showing off their latest models of electric vehicles at the Beijing Auto Show. Musk met with China's premier, who's being quoted by state media as saying he hopes the U.S. will work more with China on what he called a win-win cooperation, citing Tesla's operations in China. Florida Republican Congressman Bill Posey is the latest lawmaker to announce his retirement. He says he'll leave Congress at the end of the year, joining a recent wave of lawmakers who decided to leave Capitol Hill. Reporters, politicians, and celebrities mixed it up at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last night, the event known to some as the Nerd Prom. NPR's Maria Andrusovich reports that speakers celebrated democracy and a free press while also roasting newsmakers.
President Biden took the podium for a relatively short set, poking fun at his own age, but also taking more than a few shots at presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump.
And yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old.
Saturday Night Live's Colin Jost was the headliner. He also mentioned the president's advanced age more than once.
It's after 10 p.m. Sleepy Joe is still awake.
But Jost ended on a sentimental note, saying his late grandfather voted for Biden and calling the president a decent man. Marie Andrusevich, NPR News, Washington.
Protesters gathered outside the event in Washington, D.C., demonstrating against the war in Gaza and media coverage of the conflict. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
Checklist. April Fools. Check. April Showers. Check. Earth Day. Check. Earth Month. Improv show. Double check. On Friday, April 26th at 7 p.m. in the live music studio, WMNF and Living Mirror Playback Theater present Listen to Your Mother. Conversations with Mother Earth. Combining storytelling, theater, music, and improv, these monthly shows make for a compelling evening of community sharing and live performances. You can reserve your seat at WMNF.org/events and check it off your list.
If you love classic soul, R&B, Caribbean, gospel, hip-hop, or house music, and if you love podcasting and exclusive interviews, if you love urban culture and urban music, then you'll really love the Urban Cafe channel. You can find it here on HD2 if you have an HD2 radio, or you can go to WMNF.org and download our mobile app so that you can listen to it all the time.
WMNF's Eclectic Community Music Festival Tropical Heat Wave 2024 is taking place on May 4th in Ybor City. We are full up on food vendors and are now seeking arts and crafts vendors to offer a variety of items for attendees. Tropical Heat Wave will be held at the Cuban Club located on the corner of Republica de Cuba and Palm Avenue in Ybor City. For more information and vendor fees, please email WMNF at WMNF.org or call during business hours at 813-238-8001. Go to tropicalheatwave.org for lineup, tickets, and more. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Holton.
And I'm Nathaniel Cox.
Tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 to the Acoustic Peace Club on WMNF. We play singer-songwriters and acoustic music from blues to bluegrass and speak loudly for peace.
Join us every Sunday at noon on WMNF Tampa.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only DJ Spaceship reminding you that every Monday morning, that's right, every Monday morning on WMNF from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., tune in as me and my co-pilot Nate Dogg give you the music you love, the topics to get you talking, and the motivation to get you out your bed to start your week off right.
Right now, you are tuned to the Sunday Forum here on WMNF Tampa. Looking for your telephone calls, 813-239-9663. It's the number to call, or you can write djwmnf.org. We'll be right back.
We all know the sounds. Of the incomparable George Benson. Legendary George Benson. He's still with us. He's still with us. Glad to see him still performing and looking good. Looking good. Still looking good, man. A lot of our great performers are not with us anymore. Passing on. We miss Al Jarreau. My man Al Jarreau. One of my favorites from Al Jarreau is Party on the Roof. Wow. You know, you can do what you want to do. You can be, I mean, just, wow. Outstanding, outstanding vocalist, jazz vocalist, Al Jarreau. And we're going to hear from him this morning. We're going to hear from him this morning on the Sunday Forum. We're going to enjoy his music as well. And the... Is that it?
You want it?
Yeah, let's do
you
it.
You want it now? Let's, all right, let's go hear some Al Jarreau right now.
Oh, yeah. Y'all should hear my Al Jarreau impression. All right. Hey, man. I don't think anybody can scat.
No, not that I can think of.
That was real. Yo, let me tell you, man. Al Jarreau is definitely one of my favorites, brother. One of my favorites. Oh, gosh. You know, there are people who do standards, jazz standards. That's what they call it in music, right? They do jazz standards. And there's no one that I know of, truthfully, in our generation of singers that have impacted music more than Al Jarreau. Grammys after Grammy after Grammy, dude. But his voice and his use of sound has always intrigued me. Always intrigued me. So, rest in peace, man, Al Jarreau. And now that he just passed away, folks, he's been gone for, gosh, I'd say about 5 years now, right? About 5 years he's been gone from us. But what a loss when he left us, man. So, you know, gosh, Al Jarreau, Moonlighting. Remember the TV show Moonlighting?
Oh yeah.
that was everybody.
Cybill Shepherd.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce Willis. Bruce. That was an outstanding show. Al Jarreau made the soundtrack for that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Hey, listen, folks, we're back in the Sunday Forum here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. This is your host, Walter L. Spencer II, along with Billy. It's 20 minutes after 9 a.m. This beautiful Sunday morning. And you just listened to the sounds of Al Jarreau. And we are going to have a discussion. We were discussing earlier about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which is a serious, serious issue. We're going to talk about another serious issue as well at this particular point. And I'm going to ask the question to everybody, if you recognize that we are in an energy crisis. If you recognize that we are in an energy crisis, what is it that makes you recognize that we are in an energy crisis? Call in 813-239-9663. I say to you, if you are not calling in about this particular issue that we're talking about, please, please, because we're about to get very serious about this issue, okay? And we're going to talk about this thing of the energy crisis that is, wow, destroying households, man. Destroying households. And our society is being controlled. It's one of the things that's really, really controlling our society and how we move, what we're able to do, the whole nine. And I think we really need to take a cold, hard look at the energy crisis and what it means to us. Let's see, Mabili.
Yeah, it's beyond that. It's also contributes to other crises such as food crisis.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the good stories coming out of the continent of Africa right now is there are different farming techniques that are being utilized on the continent, you know, from ancient fertilizer methods in Zimbabwe to new greenhouse technology in Somalia. Farmers across the, of course, heavily agriculture-reliant African continent are looking both to the past and the future.
Yes.
To respond to climate change. And, of course, we call Africa the ancient future because it's one of the world's youngest populations.
Yeah.
In the world, is seeing the worst effects of a warming planet while contributing the least to the problem. So farmers are scrambling to make sure that the booming population is fed. Some are turning to traditional foods, as I said, and that had long been dismissed as weeds or neglected in favor of imports, which is not good for any African economy, is to depend on imports. But others embrace new planting methods in different varieties. One new beans side of benefit is less flatulence, which can only be good for everybody. But with 60% of the world's uncultivated land, Africa should be able to feed itself, as according to some experts, as well as continue to be the breadbasket of the world. And yet 3 in 4 people across the continent cannot afford a healthy diet, according to a report just last year by the African Union and the United Nations agency. So, you know, it's causing, you know, climate change has an effect down the line. You know, when you talk about food and food scarcity.
Absolutely.
And of course, we have to look at the weather and how climate is continuing to be a phenomenon, as El Nino phenomenon is worse than drought. So, of course, that has some impact on, a lot of impact on agriculture. So that's why these farmers on the continent are looking at old methods and, of course, very, very new methods in order to continue to survive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We want to shout out to you, Miko Thomas. Miko!
Miko!
What's going on? Member of the 4th Estate crew. She's moved on to bigger and better things. We're proud of you, Miko.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of you. And that's what the 4th Estate is all about, man. Researching and giving people opportunities to move on to bigger and better things. So, you're right. The food scarcity is a very serious issue, and an issue that is directly related to energy, right? Because the energy situation is one that is utilized in order to help grow massive amounts of crops.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another issue that is hitting us right here, and that's hitting us here at home. I mean, we have a large agricultural area here,
right,
in the Tampa Bay area, or just outside Tampa Bay area. One of the things that troubles me about our energy companies is the amount of tone deafness there is to the issues that face the people who are receiving energy or the client, the customer, right? So what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. There are those of us who say this is cut and dry. They make the energy, we pay for it. That's what they say. It's not as cut and dry as that. It really is not. There are a series of things that have to be taken into account when you talk about the amount of energy being used, how it's being used, how it's being produced, probably more importantly, how it's being produced and then sold to our communities. And then to look at the sustainability concept that they utilize or they implement in order to be rid of the byproducts of their processes. So let's just talk about it, okay? Many of you have heard me talk about the issue of the coal combustion machinery, a coal combustion process, and the process of utilizing gas. Both of them are fossil fuels. Gas and coal are both fossil fuels. We've spoken about the issue of working towards a 100% clean energy future. which means the elimination of gas and coal as a product that is used to create energy. But what happens in the process of creating that energy? Well, I can tell you now, greenhouse gases are released, and it makes the earth hotter, makes it warmer. This is science. It is not, I didn't make it up. It's the truth. You felt the effects of it, the amount of carbon that's being burned. But let's talk about what gas does to the human being. There are gases that being used here is called fracked gas. That's the reality of it. Some people call it clean natural gas. No, it is cleaner than coal. Yes, it is. But it is not clean natural gas. That gas that's being burned is a fracked gas. Now, fracking is a process that cannot, understand me, we cannot conduct the process of fracking here in the state of Florida. And the reason we can't conduct fracking here in the state of Florida is because we'd be underwater very quickly if that was the case, okay? We would destroy our ecosystems very quickly, and a lot of people would be ill because of it. Fracking is the use of carcinogenic materials that would be used like you would use a jet spray to do pressure washing, right? So imagine that sprayer being used, but only larger, right? So this huge hose is being plugged into a well. And inside that well is released carcinogens, acids, and things like that, that are used in order to break through the aquifer in some other state, city, whatever. And then what they do is they take this and shoot it through the limestone formation, which forms the aquifer. When it happens, they go below the secondary. Imagine a tunnel, right? An underwater tunnel. It shoots, you have two parts. You have the upper confining layer. Then you have the flow area where the water flows. And then underneath where the water flows is the bottom confining layer. That bottom confining layer is now destroyed in order to get below that surface of water, right? And get below the aquifer in order to get to the gas that's being formed. Okay? That gas now is being suctioned off. So what they do is they take that hose that is shot through there and they pull it out. When they pull it out, it leaves behind fractured limestone, which is why I call it fracking. But in those fractures and in that water is a carcinogenic material. Now, for those people who don't know what carcinogens are or carcinogenic material, you're talking about poison, something that causes cancer. That's carcinogenic. I can give you a series of names of the chemicals that are in there that are known to the periodic table, but the reality of it is that it would take us forever to go through. So I'm not going to bother. Just know it's poison. It causes cancer. It has caused cancer. And yours truly has gone to places like D.C. and things like that to determine to protest and lobby against fracking. And so when we talk about the use of gas, that's where our gas comes from. Make no mistake about it, no matter what Tampa Electric tells you or what Florida Power and Lighting may tell you or whatever, this is where the gas comes from, okay? That gas has to be transported from point A to point B, wherever it goes to the Big Bend area here in Tampa, it'll be to the Big Bend area. And the time that it gets to the Big Bend area, where do you think, how do you think those, do you think those gas lines have leaked? Yeah, they've leaked. They've leaked. And it's poisonous to the land. To the land. Not only is it poisonous to the land, it's poisonous to the people. And so it does create, it can create cancers. It can create nerve issues or nerve damage, brain damage, respiratory damage. It does a lot of damage. But I digress. We want to take a look at that, and we also want to take a look at what happens when that same greenhouse gas that's formed when burning, right, that creates the electricity that we use, when it's increased, and we're trying to move away from gas, right? What happens when it's increased? Well, let's take a look at that, because this is where part of the crisis comes in. When Tampa Electric Company goes to the Public Service Commission and asks the commission for a rate increase, that rate increase is for a reason. It's so that they can pass on the charge to you ultimately for the various violations they've committed, their continued use of a bad environmental policy, their continued use of machinery that's outdated, which is what they're paying for, is their use of that in order to do coal combustion. Same thing in the burning of gas. When this happens, there are people who have to pay for the remediation of land. Remediation is the cleaning of land that is being destroyed by way of the coal combustion and by way of the gas that's being burned, and more the coal combustion than anything else. Now, with coal combustion, there's the burning, there's a shipping and movement of coal by way of train. Those trains come from wherever they come from. They bring those trains in with coal, and that coal is burned in large amounts in the coal, the plants, right? And it creates what? Energy for us. Now, when it happens, it creates what you call coal ash, or initially it causes a molten material called slag. When burned off and washed off, the byproduct is called coal ash. That coal ash is then washed into a pool, right, or a pond. That pond then houses or keeps the particulates in it. So for 40 years, almost 50 years, I'd say, almost 50 years, there were people who did not know about this. They did not know that those ponds were not lined. They did not know that the material that was in that pond was poisonous. Poisonous to them, poisonous to the environment, poisonous, period. They also had no idea that there had been violations where this coal ash and the coal, which is a byproduct of the coal combustion, had already poisoned the land and already gone into groundwater in the surrounding area off of the actual industrial site. So there are some that there's contaminated sites off sites. The question that we have is, and no one is bothered to ask it, but we're asking it now, how much of that got off site?
You mean coal ash?
The poison is the byproduct. Yeah, we don't know. We have no idea. We have no monitoring wells that are independent monitoring wells that can give us answers right now.
Well, I know that, you know, I smell sewage every time I turn on the tap. So there's got to be something going wrong. I mean, I'm in the uptown area up by university, and it reeks for the first few minutes when you turn on the tap, and it, you know, I take a lot of my vitamins with that tap water. I refuse to now. You know, I'll go and buy a whole bottle of water, even though I'm not too keen on the plastics and the bottle. But I rather that than to drink that tap because of the way it smells. How many people are smelling sewage when they turn on the tap?
Exactly. Lots of them. Lots of them. And understand where this damage is taking place is more the more immediate flood zone area of the TECO plant. That's the biggest area of concern. It's the flood zone area because it's closer to the actual plant operation. Apollo Beach, Progress Village, places like that. Those are the areas where we're really concerned with. Parts of Riverview, Wymama, that whole thing. That's the area that we're really, really concerned with regard to that. Keep in mind that I don't know to what extent. Okay, so we know for a fact that there's very little transparency. This stuff should have been reported to the people. This stuff needs to be talked about with the people. And there's none of that. There's none of that. It's just hidden on a website that nobody reads, black or white. Nobody's going to sit there and read their website like that. Who's going to read an energy website? They know this. They know this is not going to happen.
Especially when you have those in power who's speaking with a forked tongue on this, because you'd mentioned fracking earlier, and the governor, you know, was running to be for the top office in the land, and he said that he opposed fracking in Florida because the people passed an amendment, a constitutional amendment that he's bound by, even though other amendments he didn't show too much binding to. But when it comes to this, he said he opposed fracking in Florida, but if he became president, fracking would be fine elsewhere.
Right.
So he's speaking with a forked tongue, and if it's fine elsewhere, it'll be fine in Florida eventually, regardless of what the people said.
Yeah, there are some people who have, you know, does the governor have any soul? No. Many of us have the opinion that he has no soul.
Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't look like it.
Right. What does that look like, right? We'll give him credit for that one. Because he knows the damage that it will do to everything.
Does he? Or is he just saying that because he's bound by it for right now? But once in power, care about his power, then, you know, because we had a constitutional referendum that said people's, if you have a record, if you're ex-con, you should be allowed to vote without having to go through all the rigmarole of asking the state for your form. It should be automatic. Restoration of your civil rights if you do your time. And he said, I don't care what you people said.
Yeah.
You got to pay your fines before you vote, or you going to come and get arrested by my private police force.
Right.
So
again,
this
going
is
back
how
to
you
what we're
can,
talking about before.
Right. Yeah. He can fascist. Really, you know, it's a fascist move to deny what the people have demanded in a referendum.
And then to go hunt them down.
And to go hunt them down on top of that. You know, that was the fascist move.
That was really the fascist move there. So we have this issue, this crisis. And what makes it a crisis with the energy part is the effect that it has on the people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. And this is what makes it the biggest crisis. Is that truthfully, we don't know. And I put this on city council. I put this on the county commission. I challenge them to go out to the communities, the real frontline underserved communities, and go do blood testing and check and do environmental work, real environmental work, to find out what the real status is regarding these releases.
Mm.
Okay? It is their responsibility to do this. To protect us. That's their responsibility. So why haven't they been doing it? Why haven't they been doing it? Do we have to not come up with a way to protect ourselves by going out and getting somebody, hopefully like myself, to go out and go do the testing for us and come back with this information? Come on. Why was this not checked before? Has anybody bothered to see what the effects were from the release that took place? Because Tico didn't know where its lift stations were or are? And I see the frown on your face.
It's crazy.
That goes back to what happened last year, in March of last year, where they had the release because the apartment building did not pay their utility bill.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't tell you was the apartment building is located in a low-income area of Temple Terrace. That's what they didn't tell you.
So don't we have solar farms that should be able to provide to large apartment complexes?
Yeah, there are. But they're not. They've not worked towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're working towards and they're focused in on is continuing to burn fossil fuels. Let me demonstrate to you why this is the case, and how we know that this is the case. We know that this is the case because if they were working towards solar in the way they should have worked towards solar, they'd be halfway there by now. Because we're almost, how long before we get to 2030?
Another 7 years.
Another 7 years. If you were really working on it, they'd be halfway there by now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In creating their program that they promised back when. They said they'd be done by 2023. It's now 2024.
Right. It'll be 7 years from now.
Okay.
Before they're done.
Right. So now we have
6 years.
Yeah. So now we're at an annual deficit from the standpoint of how far along we should be in a solar program.
Mm-hmm.
Or they should be in a solar program, right? The problem that we're having with this is that people can't afford to pay the bills that they're being given. When your bill jumps 60-some percent, that's a big jump, man.
Especially if you're renting, because that's going to take half your income.
Oh, my God.
And then add on top of that, electric bills rising. And
come on.
These are legacy monthly bills that you have to pay.
Yes. If you don't pay it, there are people out there who, if they don't pay it, they become homeless because they are evicted from the public housing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me, folks? They're evicted from public housing because they have to pay a bill of $500, $300, in a house of two people, three people. There's something wrong with that. In public housing? In public housing. There's a problem when a child can be taken out of the house. That's a crisis. That's a crisis because it leads to other things. It leads to the fracturing of families, right?
Mm-hmm.
It leads to the separation of families. It leads to homelessness, right? And it increases our homeless population, which ends up being, when you increase your homeless population, it puts a drain on resources. Why? Because the homeless population it's not their fault. Nobody wants to be homeless. Nobody wants to be homeless. You know, but when you try your best to get out of an economic hole and you just keep piling stuff on, what do you think is going to happen? It's a crisis. It's a crisis. The energy crisis is more far reaching than we give it credit for. It's far more far reaching than that, and we have not taken the time. Let me just put it like this. To our elected officials, I can tell you right now, you have not taken the time. And if I were to make a criticism, they have not taken the time. You have not taken the time, and I admonish you about this. You have not taken the time to study what this means. And you're taking the word of Tampa Electric Company about what's going on. And you're wrong for that. You're dead wrong. Instead of going out there and talking to these people and finding out the detriment that they have put those people under, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And you need to get out there and do some independent studies. You individually need to get out there and do it. Hit the streets. And just like you walk out there to go get our votes, you need to walk out there and start canvassing and start trying to talk to some people and see what they're talking about and why they're suffering. Because the Public Service Commission is coming. They're coming. In June, they will be here. And in June, I can tell you this right here, and you can count on this, I'm going to be there too. I'm going to be there too. You ain't just going to run around here and just take people's stuff, man. Separating families. Kids can't get the homework done. Come on. These people live in an ivory tower, man.
Yeah.
And they're disconnected. My son and I made a commercial about it on social media called Left in the Dark. We have a series of people who, have you seen it?
Yeah.
We have a series of people. If you go to YouTube, you'll find it called Left in the Dark. My son actually edited it, and I shot it, and he actually produced it. He put everything together and made it. Let me tell you, it is to combat this rate increase that Tampa Electric Company is trying to get right now. They don't deserve one. They don't need one. They need to be the ones fixing their environmental screw-ups, not us. We warned them. We told them to stop doing this stuff. We told them to stop doing it. We warned them the devastation that it was going to cause. And when you try to hide devastation like that, what ends up happening? More devastation. Mm-hmm. It gets worse and worse and worse. You remember when you were a kid, the Mormons had the commercial talking about, so when you tell one lie, it leads to another. When you tell mm-hmm. two lies, the cover of the other. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Lying. Lying. Let's go to these lines, man.
All right. You are tuned to the Sunday Forum. Let's go and hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Walt?
All right, what's going on?
Fine. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, when you talk about the environment and stuff, isn't that also exacerbated by the deforestation in places like Brazil, places like the Pacific Northwest, where you really see this thing going on? And I'm just asking, is that also that balance, that ability of the Earth to exchange gases is diminished when we have this massive and pollution of the particularly the ocean where it absorbs some of that? I'm just asking you.
You're on target.
Who's that one?
From the standpoint that you're on target globally, when you talk about the global effects, right, of what these corporations are doing, the deforestation and stuff like that, for the purposes of housing, creating housing, or deforestation for the urbanization of areas, that's one thing. But when you talk energy crisis, you're talking about you're talking about how hot it is, right? Urban heat islands. You've heard me speak about that before, right? Those islands are created because of the increase of carbon emissions. When you get rid of trees, what happens? You don't have anything to absorb the carbon, right?
Uh-huh.
and no shade. And so when that happens, that's why it's so important for us to create spaces that are like Frank Lloyd Wright created, right? That that work in synthetically with with nature, right? It's important. That's why in Africa, for instance, you have these issues with regard to what happens when these colonials or neocolonials go in there and just start raping the land.
Right.
And they force the Africans, our brothers and sisters over there, to work under very dangerous conditions.
DRC is a good example.
Perfect example.
About Macintosh computers, how many of the products that are used in our computers are illegally mined and disrupted.
That's right. You have children that are out there taking those. If I were to give an example of something really bad that happens, the children who work in those mines, which first of all, they shouldn't be working in those mines anyway. But if the children are mining for this stuff, they get some of it and they pocket it, right? To try to get food. And what they do is they go out and try to sell on the black market, and they end up getting murdered.
Right.
And that's what happens. So, that's just something that happens over there, and that's a horrible thing. That's terrible. Over here, what's terrible is the fact that we have whole communities that are being destroyed.
Right.
Because of the lack of care given about the increase of the bills that people have to pay. Listen, if I'm paying, and you're not going to get me to believe for one instant that just because of my zip code, let me stop saying that. Let me not say that, because that's probably true. They probably do it like that too.
Zip code is a
zip code might
determinant
be,
of a lot of things.
Yeah.
We call that unintended, the thing of unintended consequences, you know, when we talk about that. But one quick thing is that can the earth, you know, if it heats up, let's say 110, 120 degrees, can the earth, I mean, given the amount of damages that, can it heat up to 500 degrees?
It's possible.
Let me tell you, it would be very bad. You ever seen that movie Waterworld?
No.
Okay, I suggest you watch the movie Waterworld. And there are cartoons. People laugh about this stuff, but it's not funny. Literally, I was watching a DC Comics thing on Justice League. I'm a big fan about Justice League. Aquaman keeps making these very clear cut comments about what happened on his Earth. On there are different Earths where the same superhero might exist, right? So the Aquaman on Earth 1, 2, or 3. On Earth 3, the Earth 3 Aquaman explains that on his Earth, the Earth dwellers, the land dwellers, destroyed everything. And so everything's underwater.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying to you? And we're looking at
four.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're looking at the destruction of our Earth's surface, of communities and stuff like that. So, hey man, listen, we got another call that's come in. We got to take this call. Thanks now. Caller?
Yes, good morning, brothers.
Hey, what's going on for you, mother? How you doing?
Right. I don't think you can express enough the cost impact that TECO is imposing on families based on zip codes. If you have not been able to make full payment, how they're coming asking for additional security deposits. And even when you're needing help from social services, the bills are so high until social services is putting a cap on how much they will pay towards your bill. So it's not like people are just keeping lights on 48 hours, you know, all day, all night. It is the cost associated with just trying to have bare essentials that people are not able to keep up with. And people should be very, very concerned on the front end because of the impact, as you laid out. If we can't keep our lights on, it becomes a snowball effect toward hell.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. And thank you for being in the commercial, too.
Thank you.
Listen, she was in the commercial, man, and she did an outstanding job. Did you see her? You probably couldn't because the light's out, right?
Okay.
And so you gotta look back at the YouTube commercial.
Okay.
Look back at the commercial again. Check out the commercial on YouTube and on other social media outlets called "Left in the Dark." Left in the Dark. Okay. It's by Mr. Gamer Smith. My son, who happens to be my son, Walter L. Smith III, he actually produced it and did an outstanding job. Outstanding job. And we're very proud of him for the work that he's done and the work that we're doing in the community with folks. We're going to keep doing it, Mabili. We got to keep doing it. We have Black Earth Days.
Yes.
Black Earth Days, the podcast, which is coming up. We're going to be doing it again this Wednesday. Black Earth Days. Black Earth Days. Check it out. It's going to be on Facebook and other outlets as well. It's going to be released to other outlets. Check it out. You don't want to miss it. Yours truly will be on there along with Mabili and Andre Hill II as we talk about the environmental justice issues that are plaguing the Black community. Well, listen, folks, we want to thank you for joining us today for the Sunday Forum, this beautiful Sunday morning. And as always, from my voice to the airwaves to the hearts and the minds of each and every one of you, we love you. And there's not a thing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum. And coming up next is the postmodern hootenanny. Hopefully we can get us some Maria Maldoor to play on there. What do you think, Ed? All right. There we go. I love that song. Hey, thank you for joining us, folks. Mabili?
Yes, sir.
We're out.
Yeah.
Peace.
WMNF Tampa.